Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Gary Stewart of Conscious Connection. So I thought I'd finish my year end of 2013 with some fantastic guests speaking a little bit about what I do. I'm a constellation facilitator, and I've been at this for going on 14 years, starting this February, not to mention coming in as a rep to other people's workshop for my first 2 years, so it's going to be about 16 years experience. So I lead constellations, which I found out when I did the conference in Seattle this past October in a very spirited way that's different from a lot of other facilitators. So I'd like to talk about that and discuss it with one of my reps who comes to the workshop, who's here live in the studio with me, to talk about the way I do the work and what the work is. So for people who out there don't know much about constellations, it was developed by Bert Hellinger years and years ago in the late 60s, early 70s, and he's constantly refining it, and he calls his new version of it, so to speak, the spirit-mind work, where he just observes the field, which is the field of consciousness that opens up during a constellation, with reps moving in silence to deduct a different picture of their family reality or the soul reality of any given family system or problem that we may encounter in our adult lives. So I integrate a verbalization with that, and I have always felt that if the reps are repping a grandfather, money, a mother, an illness, a disease, a condition, a behavior, depression, you name the subject, it can be anything and everything that we want deeper consciousness of, the field opens up and gives that to us. And I've always felt, along with many other facilitators, that it's fine to talk about it. It's fine to share. You're sharing from the role. It could be an overlap of your own issues because you were picked to be a role. Say there's depression in the family system and you were picked to be someone with depression. Well, the field is healing you simultaneously while it serves the client. So it's really a win-win for all concerned. And it's just an amazing process. And so I allow talking. I allow we can have a joke or two about something that's very gallows humor, if that's the case, or just to lighten up the family field a little bit. It's almost like sometimes it's just so serious that any given family system due to Nazism, a tragedy, a Holocaust, lots of death, lost touch with being happy in their lives and the lighter side of life. As opposed, we're not diminishing the heavy side of life and the traumas and dramas that were lived through to get the client into their future, but we also need to lighten our spirits a little bit because life is meant to be enjoyed and to be happier, which is the goal of doing the work, not to just ease suffering and then lead a miserable existence, but to leave the suffering behind and have some happiness and achievement in your life because our lifespan is so short. I mean, it's definitely gone in a flash, and we might as well be happy on our way out, so to speak. I'd like to introduce Gary Corp. He comes to the workshops quite frequently and is a great representative and watches me do the work in action week after week. And Gary, welcome to Conscious Connection.
Thank you very much, Gary. Two Garys here. Yes, indeed, the way you do the work is so spirited is the perfect word for that because that is exactly how you do the work and the energy that you bring to the work. You actually bring an important balance to the work, as I see it, because so often family systems may be carrying a very dark energy or something for ancestors, and you actually bring a lightness to it that actually is an important yin to the yang, so to speak, of the family system that actually brings it back in balance when something may be off a bit if grief is being carried or that sort of thing. So often that's what's missing from some family systems is that everyone is carrying the depression. Everyone is, oh, to belong to this family, I can't be happy. I have to suffer too because that's how I belong. And the energy that you bring and what the field shows is that very often our ancestors certainly don't want us to suffer. They don't want us to carry that heaviness. Because we belong anyway, and that's what I get out of it week after week is I realize even when we feel we don't belong, we do. We don't need to carry anything. We don't need to be depressed. We don't have to suffer like our families did or as we perceive our families did. It's actually about lightening that and lightening the family system, which I think lightens them as well. I know as a rep, I have finally been able to rest in peace when I see my granddaughter, for instance, not suffering, not carrying what I did. I know she carries it out of love. I realize, oh my gosh, she's just like me. And I think in the role, I don't want that. I want her to be light. I want her to have joy in her life especially if I didn't get a chance to, and if her grandfather didn't get a chance to, we don't want to see little carbon copies of suffering down through the family system. We really would like to see, you have a wonderful expression, we are our ancestors' dreams come true. And that's how I
yes.
feel in those roles. When I see my granddaughter leave it behind and let me carry it, because I, in those roles I feel I'm strong enough to carry it. I don't need my son or daughter or granddaughter or great-great-granddaughter carrying those things for me. Let me carry it and I can rest in peace. And like I said, I just love attending the workshops. I get so much out of it just as a rep. So like that, yeah. So
yes, I'd like to add on that. Very often it's because there's a loyalty or there's a guilt involved. Sometimes we feel if my ancestors didn't have a happy family system or a happy life, how dare I have happiness or joy in my life?
Exactly, exactly. That's exactly what I feel in those roles, yeah.
So very often we feel loyal to the system we were born into. So if the family system is suffering, we feel loyal to the suffering and the ancestors that suffered. Now, ironically, life handed out them those cards, so to speak, and that was the fate. That's the cards they were dealt with, so to speak. And it doesn't mean they wanted to be unhappy and suffering. They were forced into it by Adolf Hitler, by a genocide, by a tidal wave, by a tsunami, a volcano. Whatever happened in the ancestral system is what fate and destiny had in store for them. It didn't mean that everyone else had to suffer like them from that moment on. So there is a way out with constellations. The suffering can end, and we can honor our ancestors in a different way by living a fulfilled, happy life, finding the joy again that the great-grandmother or grandfather might not have had a chance to in their lifetime. And really, when we lighten our spirits for ourselves, we're lightening their spirits for them.
Absolutely.
So what greater joy could that be than to uplift the family system with the current generation so we can smile back with gratitude at those who suffered before and be happy, because I sincerely believe everyone wanted to be happy at some point. Now, that might have gotten lost 10 or 15 generations ago, but still the desire is there to be happy. And if anyone disproves this for me, all I ask you to look at is a baby. Isn't a baby born happy? Isn't a baby born joyful? More than not, it feels it has to pay a price. And if it's a sad family system, the new baby will pick up on that sadness and carry the sadness along with the rest of the family system. Number one, for survival. Number two, because that's the thought field or the aura of the family system happens to be sadness or depression, so it tries to fit into that system by giving up itself, by betraying its own inner spirit to belong to the family system that gave it life. Otherwise, even a baby would feel guilty that, oh, I'm the only happy one here. Wait a minute, they all look like they're going to cry. Wah, wah. Okay, I'll cry too. And then they try to make the baby happy. So it's that to and fro yin and yang that's continually happy in life in every family system. And I sincerely believe each new baby gives us hope. And don't forget, our mother was that new baby. Our father was that new baby. Our grandmother was that new baby. Our great-grandmother was that new baby. Our great-great-grandfather was that new baby at some point in time. And they all had the same experience. And ironically, that experience gets carbon copied, repeated each generation. So if our great-great-grandfather couldn't be a happy baby, guess what? We're not a happy baby. It's a learned response from the larger family system, due to circumstances in time and space that being had to live through. Well, the great thing about constellations and the spirit of constellations that I lead is I try to remind you of that original joy that you chose to partake in this family system during your spiritual mission here, and to rediscover that at any age. It doesn't mean you can be a wrinkled senior citizen and you still have that baby deep inside who came to explore and experience the wonder of life, the joys of life, not just the sadness, pain, depression, longing, betrayal, and all the negative things. We also have to give the positive things equal time.
Absolutely. Well, and that's what I love about the way you do the workshops. Not only do we do the wonderful constellations, but you've developed a series of exercises that also seem to call exactly to that bring that out, so we can do a one-on-one exercise with it, so that when people come to the workshop every single week, even if I'm not working on my own issues, certainly I get a lot out of it by being a rep in other family systems, but we also do exercises that explore those dynamics also. Could you tell us a little bit
about those? Yeah, let me talk about the exercises. Yeah. So where I do workshops every week, a lot of facilitators only do a few workshops per year. So I've had the privilege and curiosity, so to speak, to expand on the work. So I sincerely believe if constellations allow us to tap into the consciousness of the family system, then it also allows us to tap into consciousness, period. So constellations is a key or a tool to unlock the hidden recesses of the unconscious. And the irony is while we're making the unconscious conscious, it's the living consciousness that we all experience in everyday life, seen from a different dimension, seen from a different vantage point. So the great thing about the exercises is we can really target. So I developed a past life constellation exercise, you could call it, where we really hone into what past life is in our conscious field that we'd like more information about, what is incomplete in that past life that can be nagging at us in this life. So the irony is the client may feel, well, I was Cleopatra in a past life, or I was a soldier who died in battle. That's all well and good, and I don't try to take that belief away from you in any way, shape, or form. But what we do is we would have somebody represent whatever past life needs to be seen, and your subconscious field of consciousness fills this objective representative of whatever past life you need information from. It fills them up with a real vivid experience, which is actually your experience from a different lifetime in your past incarnations. So once something like that is resolved, whether it's trauma that shows up or sadness or whatever it is, it gives you a deeper inner clarity about what you're experiencing this lifetime, and it's an extension of what you experienced before to complete a lesson that might not have been complete in one lifetime than it carries forward to the other. No different from your family system. What traumas, let's say, weren't complete in Nazi Germany with the Jewish family system, that means the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the ascendants of the descendants here will carry that forward so it can be resolved and healed and get back to happiness rather than be perpetually chained to what happened in Auschwitz a generation ago. So that's the goal, to be fully present. So whether it's past life, I have another exercise that's doing really well. Women love this one. It's releasing romantic entanglements. We set up all our serious sexual relationships. So we have a family history, but as adults, we have a sexual history, some more than others, some less than others. But different things happen to different beings in families, as part of a family system, but as you grew into an adult, you had a romantic family system, so to speak. Even if you didn't marry these gentlemen or ladies, they're still part of your history as a sexual being, a sexual human being with a history. So what we do is we set up the key relationships and allow the field to open with each one and allow the man or woman to visit what was going on in their life as a teenager falling in love, as a 20-year-old, as a 25-year-old who agreed to have an abortion, with someone who got pregnant accidentally, with someone who was dumped, with someone who was rejected, with maybe you rejected that person and that hurt them deeply. What we find is there's a lingering echo of all these relationships that keeps showing up in each romantic relationship. So I call that a romantic entanglement. We're still entangled with those lovers who came before, and this exercise helps us cut the entanglement or negative cord so we can be in a positive place in our next relationship and not repeat the same mistakes or create the same mistakes over and over again ad nauseum, because that's the last thing we want, is all that baggage to be fully alive in every single relationship. Then we can't be fully present with who we have as a lover, husband, wife, whatever the relationship is. You want to be at your best and you want to be fully present and not dragging some old behavior from the past into the now. So we try to complete what happened in the past, learn the lesson from it, take that lesson into your heart and soul, and then move on with that lesson complete so you really don't have to repeat it.
It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful exercise. And another a really good exercise that I really appreciate when we do it is inner victim, inner perpetrator. It's so amazing how often we think that it's something outside ourselves, or, oh, I'm a victim of this or that. But by setting up an aspect of an inner victim and inner perpetrator, it's actually very empowering, because you really see what you're doing to yourself and that you have a choice where you think you don't. I love that exercise.
Yeah, I can't say enough about victim-perpetrator. Number one, our families are part of that in our family system, whether there was sexual abuse by a family member or we have Nazism in our past or we are Jewish in our past and have the victim-perpetrator of, say, Nazi and Jew. So that's a larger classic. We work with that energy as well. And Hellinger was brilliant in that we never reject the perpetrator energy. There's a lesson there to be learned. So if you look at the yin and yang symbol of Chinese philosophy, within the darkness of the symbol is a spot of light, and within the light is a spot of darkness. That means within each there's a lesson to be learned, and the yin and yang, or that circular movement, is life moving forward through space and time. So with that, can we learn the lesson from the darkness, which leads us to our own enlightenment? Can we learn how something, we appear light, but there's a little seed of darkness in there? That's almost like self-destruction. So you can say, I need to lose weight, and I'm not eating sugar, but I'm having a piece of chocolate cake with a Diet Coke. That would be a very mild version of inner perpetrator, inner victim. We're self-sabotaging ourselves to achieve our goal, and if the stakes are high, if you're diabetic or if you had a heart attack and you really have to lose that weight, or even someone who smokes a cigarette who knows they could get cancer from smoking that cigarette, but they chose, well, I'll smoke one less. You know, and I even have some friends who've got cancer from nicotine and tobacco, and it's still that dance with death and the dance with life simultaneously. So it can be on a very minor level or a very major level, and the thing is we perpetuate it internally and then exhibit it externally. So both are going on at the same time, and it doesn't mean we're a bad person or whatever, but we have the creative and self-destructive tendencies in each individual, and then, of course, we have that in society, and we have it globally at large as well. It's no different than the law of the jungle. You have to kill to live so you can eat if you're a carnivore living in the plains of Africa. So, of course, you need that killer instinct and that perpetrator style energy to kill so you can live. Well, of course, now we're civilized and we have grocery stores, so we don't have to go out and kill our own food for every meal. Someone else does that for us. But that doesn't mean we still don't have those instinctual ancient dynamics of perpetrator-victim inside our own soul. So we try to embrace both. And it doesn't mean we tell people in the workshop, go out and be a killer. It's just look at that natural instinct that we have that can be very destructive. It's fine if it's destructive if you need to eat or whatever, but there's other subtle ways we destroy what we want in our life, and then we blame someone else. So more often than not, the victim blames the perpetrator, but what about that victim actually created the perpetrator to learn something? So we try to boil it down. That we're actually creating our own reality, and why did we bring this perpetrator energy in? Was there something we really need to learn that's maybe bigger than blaming the person who did it to you? So what I often find is there's an inner strength the victim has that they don't actually acknowledge. They're so busy blaming the perpetrator, they forget that they actually were the stronger one in the dyad of perpetrator-victim. And that's a very important realization to make, that you were strong all along. And what if the perpetrator was the weak one, and he or she was trying to get their strength from you? Now, very often, it may be something serious like sexual abuse or something else, but very often, it's your own parents. You might have had a good parent or a parent who severely abused you, yet they gave you life, and yet you're their child, but at what price? So there could be a lot of suffering with that parent. And you could actually be a victim of the parent. So very often we're trained as victims because our parents may act out things on us. No different. We may act out things on our parents as well. But that can be the start of the victim-perpetrator energy that we're born into in our family system. And constellations also offer us a way out and see that we don't have to play one role or the other in our family system or in life.
Exactly. You know, it's wonderful. I love all the exercises. There's a whole series of exercises. I think 10 or 11 or a dozen of them that you have developed. And I think you've also developed a workbook, have you not, that speaks to that as well for facilitators.
Yes.
Tell us about the workbook.
For facilitators and mental health professionals, not available to the lay public, where it's kind of privately published because the information is tried and true, and I also educate people how to use the exercises for the benefit. It's actually best used by constellation facilitators who understand all these dynamics, but it's meant to target the different dynamics that we embody in our family system and in life. Past life is very popular. Releasing romantic entanglements. Oh, my God, there's just so many.
Well, one I just thought of is a caretaker constellation.
Yeah.
Because if you're dealing with someone either who has Alzheimer's or can't speak or can't communicate what they're thinking, you can actually set this up to get the energy from, you know, what is this person thinking if they could speak?
Mm-hmm.
That's invaluable.
The great thing about the caretaker, a lot of people are dealing with parents with Alzheimer or somebody who could be vegetative. And the interesting thing is they can't be present, so we pick a rep to be that person so we get the hidden information as to what's going on with them, especially if they're brain dead, vegetative, or non-communicative. We see that the soul knows a lot of information. So, yes, we have a physical body and the brain is disintegrating with Alzheimer, but yet there's a soul or a spirit inside that person that knows everything that's going on and can communicate that to the caretaker through the rep in a constellation exercise, and it actually changes the person who might be in an Alzheimer ward and a convalescent home or whatever, and give them much more peace and clarity on their journey to the hereafter or whatever's going on with their condition. So it really gives us a window that can be used to get better care and to see what layer of the mission they're on. Are they close to death? Are they still vital inside? They just can't communicate that. So it really gives them a window to the voice of the client directly, whether it's a relative or somebody you're caretaking for. It gives you an inner sensibility as to what's going on inside them.
Now, of course, you do distance work also. The reason this works is even the client themselves doesn't have to be there geographically with you to do this.
Right.
You do distance work, and it certainly works at a distance also.
Yes, consciousness is everywhere simultaneously. So don't tell AT&T that, but we don't need the telephone system to connect. There's what you'd call energetic connections, thought connections, that can happen everywhere at the same time. Quantum physicists have discovered this. They can yell at a plant in Los Angeles, and the same plant in New York, say it's an offshoot of a tomato plant, its leaves will shudder because it's being yelled at in L.A., the plant will have a reaction in New York simultaneously, even though there's a three-hour time difference, even though the stimuli is not in the same room. Scientists have also found that a mother's mirror neurons, how she treats her baby, the baby will try to match them with its biological impulses and match what the mother is giving it non-verbally, and also, of course, physically from tactile and feeding. So it shows you how everything is interconnected. And I mean, if you really look at us, we're interconnected with the Earth, we're interconnected with the cosmos, we're interconnected with the universe. So that thought field or energetic field is where we operate from. So there really is no time and space. And I think constellations really prove that. How could we get definitive information from an ancestor who's been dead for 50 or 100 years in the room in real time that we're interfacing with a rep who represents that person and the traumas they went through, and it releases the energy so they can be fully dead and in the past, and we can be fully present facing our future. That's the whole goal of constellation work, not recreating the past, but having the wherewithal to complete it, if we're allowed to, and leave it behind so we can be fully present facing our future with all that strength behind us.
Exactly. Well, sometimes I think that's real enlightenment, is really knowing that and knowing how to live that and how to move on from that. So in addition to the distance work that you do, you also travel a lot. Do you have any upcoming cities?
Yes. Last year I had some fantastic workshops in Detroit and San Francisco. I wowed everyone at the conference in Seattle, as I did the past conference in San Francisco 2.5-3 years ago. I wowed everyone there, and I just did one exercise, the past life constellation. And in Seattle this past fall, I did three exercises, one of births that's fantastic called Releasing the Dead, where we set up the dead ancestors we're connected to so we can finally put those to rest that need to be put to rest and live our life fully with them. And I also did the past life because a lot of people didn't get to do it in San Francisco, so I brought that to another city. And the releasing romantic entanglements, which was a blast. People really got that we have a sexual history as of adults that can be actually more damaging than our childhood history. So it was great for people to see we can target the field, the consciousness that's awakened in constellations, and have some fun with it and make some deep changes in our lives, which is the goal for all of us, to have the happiest life possible while we're here. I'm very excited that I was invited back to Seattle. I have 10-year facilitators and psychotherapists who have never seen constellation work done this way that were hungry for a new way to do the work, for a lighter approach, for a fun approach, and it doesn't mean I'm not serious, deep, sad, or touched by the work either. I'm all that, and we can have fun simultaneously. Life is like that. Life is everything, so why can't a facilitator be everything? Can be crying 1 minute, laughing 1 minute, joking 1 minute, having deep insight the next minute.
And you are very respectful of the field and of people's family systems. That's the thing, too, is you don't lighten it to be frivolous at all. You're deeply respectful. It's a sacred space, and you come from that. Like I said, you use the lightness to balance the darkness, and it really makes it leads to wholeness.
So my approach is a spirited constellation facilitator is life is everything, so why can't I be everything doing this deep work? And that's what I choose to do. So I'm very excited. The spring I'll be in Seattle. I'm already working on coming to possibly Massachusetts and the Berkshires by summertime. And I'm also going to be in the Denver area in early spring, early summer. So I'm very excited. And I've been talking to somebody about bringing this more light approach to England as well. So I may possibly be in England this spring as well. I'm working on all these other dates now, so people can either fly in LA and have me work with them. I can fly to you if you put up a workshop with a group of people, or we can do distance work. And distance work is very simple. I send you a family history questionnaire. You give me your goals and desires. We may have a phone call or whatever, and then my group, I have a representative for you, a representative for your issue, and it's a full consultation. Like any client who's in the room. Same effects, same transmission, same enlightenment occurs whether you're present or not. So it's a great way, if you can't be in LA, to get the depth of healing and watch it change inside yourself and inside your family system or whatever you're seeking work with. I do want to mention really quickly, we only have a minute left, is that this also works for organizations and business issues. So I've been doing a series of prosperity workshops, and we're doing one tonight for the new year for 2014, so we're all more prosperous. And we can let go of the financial baggage that we're carrying from our family system or our ancestors, because there's lots of personal dynamics that show up in business and success. So there's ways to tap the field to really focus on what do we believe about money? What beliefs do we have about success? What price may we be paying? What guilt is in the family system that has to be experienced so to pay off a debt, a karmic debt from another ancestor. So we don't have to suffer financially because other people suffered. We can move forward and be prosperous even if we come from a poor family system. And we deal with all those emotions that may be stopping us from being as successful as we can be and allowing us to honor those who came before us who were poor, but move forward and have the riches and success in life that we deserve, especially if we put out that great effort.
Exactly. Well, absolutely. And I'm looking forward to that exercise as well. Like I said, it's just marvelous. So, and be sure to mention your book also. I think you covered so much
God,
in your
yes.
book, Many Hearts, One Soul.
I have 1 minute left.
Fantastic book on the subject.
I almost forgot the most important part. This has been Gary Stewart with Conscious Connection, and it's the last show of the year here. I have many more coming up. But I wrote a book about all this called Many Hearts, One Soul. It's available on Amazon.com. And if you'd like to go to my website, it's Gary at my email is Gary@Chiefield.com. My website is www.chiefield.com. And those links will be up on this sound link that you get. It's been a wonderful 2013, and I look very much forward to 2014. Thank you all for listening, and I hope I inspire you to the greatness that you deserve. And I'm here in LA, available by phone, email, or off my website. website, and I hope to hear more from you. And I have some great guests coming up, January, February, March. The schedule's all set. And I namaste, and have a wonderful new year. This has been Gary Stewart of Conscious Connection discussing spirited constellation healing that I do in Los Angeles and elsewhere in the world. Thank you very much, and Happy New Year. Namaste. Till next time.